most recent incarnation of Lord Krishna appeared. It's a very significant day in our calendar. Monday evening particularly, we'll be having a big program in our temple up there in Unit 5. And, well, please come. Come along. It'll be really nice. Really nice. That is, as long as the coronavirus does not scare people away too much. Seriously. Actually, our temple in Bhaktivedanta Manor, our main temple in the UK, they closed it. Did you, were you aware of that?
Yeah.
Till Monday, they closed it. Because one devotee or friend who kind of mixes with the devotees somewhat regularly, not that regularly, but from time to time, he's got it. Anyway, let's not talk about that, but Hare Krishna. So, but yeah, Monday, come along. So anyway, what we'll do though, I'll read some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is like the authorized biography of Lord Chaitanya. I'll read some verses about his appearance and the circumstances under which he appeared in this world. According to our system of recording time in 1486, so that means, what does it mean? 34, is it? Years ago, something like that. Approximately 34, 35 years ago. Right. I mean, 500. Yeah. So, we'll read some verses about that, say a few words, and we'll point out in the course of all that how Lord Chaitanya was basing his teachings on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the Vedic scriptures. It's the 18th Purana. And so it's like the final book, actually, in the Vedic scriptures. Giving the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures. So Lord Chaitanya, he was presenting Krishna consciousness, teaching it, preaching it, all over India. He didn't really go outside India. And he would base his teachings on Srimad Bhagavatam. And as it happens, Desmond and Varsha have just recently, it seems, acquired a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Look at that. 18 books. It's one book. It's one book, but in 18 parts. This is the first part. It's under somewhere near 1,000 pages. So it's a pretty serious book. And really beautiful book. Actually, the name Srimad Bhagavatam translates sort of loosely to the beautiful story of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, as we say sometimes. Yes, so... So we'll link that in, and then at the end, in a little while, we'll offer arati. I see we have flower petals here. Anyway, they'll be offered to either Prabhupada or the Bhagavatam. in the course of the arati, we will offer arati also to the Bhagavatam. I don't know how many of you have been to India and have been to like holy places and spent time in holy places in India. But in India, when they have what they call Bhagavat Saptaha, Bhagavat Saptaha means a 7-day reading of the Bhagavat, the Srimad Bhagavatam. When they begin the program, it's really interesting. They do all the main participants and organizers and just the people who are interested. They have a big procession to inaugurate the 7-day program. And they walk all around the town or, you know, wherever the program is taking place, around the suburb, like that. So they all walk around with kirtan. It's a big thing. It's a really nice thing. And the main speaker, he's in the front, and he's carrying the Bhagavat on his head. It's very nice. Carrying the book on his head as they all move around. So it's an extremely important literature. It is just really extremely important. And Desmond and Varsha, they have acquired the Bhagavatam. And so in the course of doing the arati, we will also offer arati to the Bhagavatam. In fact, you might be interested to know, many, many years ago, when our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada was present on the planet in the 70s, so there was one husband and wife team, Vishal and Vishalini, husband and wife team, and they were traveling around India distributing the books of Prabhupada on the streets, house to house, shop to shop, in the educational institutions. So they were doing that, and therefore, well, it was just the two of them. They're living in a van of some sort. And, of course, in India, there's so many temples. But at that point in the 70s, there are not many of our temples. Now there's loads of our temples just all over India. But in those days, there was barely a handful of ISKCON temples. So they felt a little isolated in that sense, that they couldn't really visit our temples and participate in the programs and have darshan of the deities. So they wrote to Prabhupada and asked him, and explained the situation and asked him that, you know, because we're traveling around like this and we don't get to see the deities in our temples so much, what if you're right if we took a set of deities with us as we're traveling and worship them, you know, every day? And Prabhupada wrote back that, why do you need deities? You have the books. Just worship the books. Just worship the books. You know, wherever you stop for the night, you can make a little altar and put some of the books on the altar and offer arati to the books, because they're not different from the Lord. All right. So let us now, we'll start by saying a few words about Lord Chaitanya and his appearance. Please repeat after me.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right. I'll read a few verses. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 13, the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll begin with verse 18. Chodashata Chaya Shanke, Shesha Maga Mase. Jagannatha Sachira Dehe Krishnera Praveshe. In the month of January, in the year 1406 of the Shaka era, that's an Indian way of measuring time, just a little different from our Western way, and corresponding to AD 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. I imagine you're all aware, when Lord Krishna appears, when Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, then he appeared as the child of Vasudev and Devaki in the prison. In Mathura. And then immediately, actually within like half an hour or something like that, he was taken to the house of Nanda and Yashoda in Gokula, which is just across the river Yamuna from Mathura. And then he stayed with them. So Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda, Yashoda, they're the parents of Krishna when he appeared 5,000 years ago. And they expanded themselves and appeared as Jagannatha Mishra and Sachi. When Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, 504 years ago. So it's the same people. As Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are the same person. They're not two people. They're one person. As Balaram, the older brother of Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda are not two persons, they are one person appearing at different times. So the parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yashoda, they appeared as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi to become the parents of Lord Krishna again, when he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So then in January 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune
were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer me respect. Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and paddy rice. Sachimata told her husband, I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space as if offering prayers. Jagannath Mishra replied, in a dream, I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart, it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth. So yes, this is interesting. Listen to this. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month. What do you think of that, ladies? Anyway, you can think about that. The pregnancy approached its 13th month. It's not as bad as in the case of Shukadev Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, the same Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah, he's the one who spoke it. That's a long story, we won't go into the details, but he kept himself within the womb of his mother for 16 years. Anyway, ladies, you think about that, and good luck to you. So this was just 13 months. And so they became anxious. You know, it's well so much overdue, it's just really overdue. So then, the father of Sachi, he was a great astrologer, and he did some very complex readings, and he said that in the next month, the Lord will appear. Yes, so now we fast forward to the Purnima. It's called, you know, in the very traditional language, Falguna Purnima. Yeah. You know, it's in India, well, North India at least, particularly UP. No, it's holy time. It's holy time. It's wild. It's just wild. It's too wild. It's extremely dangerous, actually. It's too dangerous. But they throw colors and hit each other with sticks. And people die. People die sometimes. Not too many. Not too many. But enough. So the holy Purnima. The holy Purnima. This is Gaura Purnima, the full moon day upon which Lord Chaitanya appeared. So, you know, one name of Lord Chaitanya is Gaura Chandra. Chandra meaning moon, and Gaura meaning golden. He's like the moon in certain respects. He's like the moon. The moon is very soothing. The moon is very cooling, actually. There's sometimes in the Vrindavan area when our devotees in midsummer, where it's really extremely hot, they do Govardhan Parikrama. They walk around the hill 23 kilometers, but they do it at night. Because during the day it's too hot. So they go at night and they just spend the whole night walking around the hill. On the full moon night, on a full moon night. And they're walking on the open ground like sand and as cool because of the moon. But when they go under a tree, where the moonlight is not reaching, the sand is noticeably warmer from the sun during the day, but it's not being cooled by the moon at night. So it retains heat, whereas the ground which is exposed to the moon is cool. So Lord Chaitanya is like the moon, cooling, soothing. In this age of Kali, we are in the age of Kali. It is not a good time. You've probably noticed. You know, the coronavirus is just the latest. If it wasn't the coronavirus, you know, there are plenty of other things to worry about. The rand is losing value all the time. We will not talk about the South African government. don't tell them I even mentioned it. We will not talk about load shedding. I will not. That's it. Okay. But if it wasn't for coronavirus, don't worry, there would not be a shortage of difficult things to be concerned about. So, but Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna, he had that soothing, cooling effect like the moon. The moon, of course, is silvery. You know, it's coming up to full moon. It's not quite there. Monday will be. But it's coming. So, you know, probably later on, if you look out into the sky, you'll see the moon and it'll be practically full. And it's cool, it's silvery, and it's soothing and cooling. But Lord Chaitanya is Gaura Chandra, he's like the golden moon. Soothing, relaxing, but golden. Much more valuable. Gold is many times more valuable than silver. So, when the spotless golden moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari inundated the three worlds. This is a very interesting point. It was the full moon, but there was an eclipse, effectively. Rahu covered the moon. Rahu, the black planet, covered the moon. And therefore everything was thrown into darkness, even though it's the full moon. And traditionally in India, when there's an eclipse, well, eclipses are inauspicious. Inauspicious. There's negative energy, like strong negative energy in any eclipse, particularly a full eclipse. So, traditionally, in India, at least in many parts, perhaps more in North India, when there's an eclipse, when there was an eclipse, not so much now, but it's to some degree, but back in those days, 500-600 years ago, there would be an eclipse, and everyone, just about everyone, would come out, go to the nearest river or lake, kund, some body of water. Usually the rivers, in fact, virtually always, the big rivers were sanctified, the lakes were sanctified, like sacred waters. People would just come out and go into the rivers or lakes or bodies of water. And because it's very inauspicious, we have to counteract that by getting into the most auspicious place possible. So they would generally go to these bodies of water. And when they were there, for the whole time of the eclipse, they would chant the holy names of the Lord, different names of the Lord, as stated here, Krishna, Krishna, Hari. And so there would just be, well, let's just read another verse or two. All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of Gaura Hari or Gaura Chandra, advented himself on the earth. Yeah. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. Yeah, the Muslims. You know, they have their own way of doing things. But they would also, under those circumstances, they would become involved in the chanting. Yeah. So there's a sort of, you could say, esoteric or special internal explanation about the eclipse. It's nice. Is that the moon, the silver moon, full moon, knew that Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, who is the golden moon, Gaura Chandra, he is just about to appear. And when he appears, the golden moon, then me, the silver moon, I'm going to look pretty pretty cheap. Pretty silly and cheap. Tinny. Tinny. Yes. I'm going to look pretty silly. So I should hide my face. Otherwise, if I'm there and the golden moon is there, and we're there together, people are going to think, what is this? Stupid. Silver. Aluminium. Something like that. So therefore, this sort of internal understanding is that the moon felt embarrassed and hid his face. And therefore, there was an eclipse. And then, like we said, the people went, in this case, here we're in Bengal, actually. This is all going on in West, what's currently West Bengal. And just like about 140, 50 kilometers north of Calcutta. So there is the Ganges, of course. There's the Ganges, very sacred and big river. So, when this eclipse happened on the Purnima, the full moon night, so many people went down into the Ganges. And they're just chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting the whole night, or at least the whole time of the eclipse. That's another very important point. Now, we mentioned about the golden moon compared to the regular moon. But Lord Chaitanya as the incarnation of Krishna for this age of Kali. He has a special mission, and he has a special program which he wants to start, which he started in due course. He is the Yuga avatar, the particular avatar or form of the Lord, who is appearing in the particular Yuga or universal age and teaching and demonstrating the Yuga Dharma. What is the recommended, prescribed process of religious, spiritual activity for that particular age? In this Kali Yuga, the particular activity which is emphasized, recommended, and just prescribed, actually, is chanting the holy names of the Lord. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krite ya jayato Vishnu, tretiyam yajato makai, dvaparam paracharyavam, kalo tad harikirtanat. That in the Krita Yuga, there are four universal ages. Satya Yuga, also called Krita. Krita meaning merit, value. So there's Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga. Then there's Treta Yuga. Then there's Dwapara Yuga. And then the fourth age, the last and the worst, by far, it's in a class of its own completely, is the Kali Yuga, what we're in right now. So the verse is saying, Krite ya dhyayato Vishnu. In the Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, it's like a golden age. The recommended process is silent meditation on Vishnu. Jayato Vishnu. In the Treta Yuga, the second age, Tretayam Yajato Makai. In the Treta Yuga, the process is fire sacrifice, Yajja or Yajja. In the Dwapara Yuga, the third age, Dwaparam Paracharyavam means, in the Dwapara Yuga, the process is to worship the deity in the temple. But Kalo, in the Kali Yuga, Kalo Tad. Tad means that. The same thing. The same goal, which was achieved in the Krita Yuga through silent meditation, Treta Yuga through Yajna, Dwapara Yuga through deity worship, the same goal of God realization is achieved in Kali Yuga by Hari Kirtanat, the chanting of the holy names of Hari or Krishna. So that's the process for this age. A very simple process for people who need things simple. Yeah. Not too complicated. Very simple. So it was the mission and it was the program, and that's what Lord Chaitanya did. He spread all over India, from north to south, from Badrinath to what do you call it down the bottom there, the Cape? Anyway, you know the one I mean. Kanyakumari. Yeah, he traveled all over. North India, West India, East India, South India. And he presented the chanting of the holy name. And started massive movement which even in Bengal particularly challenged the Muslim government. Yeah. All based on chanting the holy names, which is the Yuga Dharma, the prescribed end. Just in simple practical terms, if one tries it, one will see it's the most effective way of developing consciousness of God. And there are many verses in the Vedic literatures to that effect. Another very famous verse, Hariranam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. One must chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Hari, Krishna. In this Kali Yuga, there's no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the goal of life. Gati, Gatir Anyata. So this was the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Here he is now, he's in the process of appearing in this world. So he creates this whole situation where everyone is chanting. It's just millions and probably hundreds of millions of people in India are just chanting and chanting like mad. Yeah. Just to kind of preface his mission. And that's what he did. Now, even Lord Chaitanya, as a child, as a little preschool child, he would play with the village, the local ladies. He was so attractive, so fascinating. So totally fascinating that every day all the local ladies would just gather and just spend the whole day with little Lord Chaitanya. And little Lord Chaitanya, because this is his mission, to establish the chanting and spread the chanting and influence people to chant. So Lord Chaitanya, he played a particular game with the ladies. Listen to this. You know what he would do? He's just a small child. I don't know, maybe he's like three, something like three, plus or minus, 3 years old. So what he would do, in the course of all these interactions with the village ladies, you know what children are like? He would start crying. We've all done it. We've all done it. He would start crying. And the ladies, of course, they're ladies, but so many of them are mothers already. They would try all the different strategies for calming a crying child. You know, you would know better than me, ladies particularly, you know, bouncing up and down. Look at that! Oh, look, it's a nice bird. Oh, look at the flowers. And trying to break the child out of the crying program. So they tried all the tricks. Yeah. Making him laugh. Making him look at different interesting things. Bribing him with a sweet. Or just, he just tried. I mean, they just tried. But he wouldn't stop. In fact, it got worse. And worse. Until he was just like, apparently, out of control. He just lost it altogether. And then one lady got so frustrated, she tried all her tricks. She just got so frustrated. She said, "Oh, Krishna!" And stopped crying. Right at that second, suddenly, no crying, smiling. Wow, what happened here? But then, a few seconds passed, and started crying again. But then she said, "Krishna!" And he stopped. And gradually they understood, this was like a program. This is like, yeah, this is the thing to do here. So they would play. He would cry, they would chant, he would stop crying. And then he'd cry again, they would chant, he'd stop crying. Then he'd cry again, and then they would do this for hours and hours. And it was all revolving around chanting the holy names. Yeah. So that was the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and that's what he did. If you read this biography, Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's big, it's really, it's, well, I don't know, maybe not quite as big as the Bhagavatam, but it is a good few thousand pages. And you see how Lord Chaitanya was spreading the chanting, and all his devotees, and this whole movement that developed behind him was spreading the chanting. And, you know, let's be frank, in this age, to really focus on silent meditation is not so easy. The mind, well, sometimes they say the mind has a mind of its own. And you may want your mind to do one thing, but it may have another idea. It may just insist on thinking about something else. So silent meditation is not so easy. You know, unless, of course, you've got very suitable conditions, peaceful place, very clean, maybe early in the morning, no one's around, there's no noise. So, it's possible. And in fact, we do some silent meditation, although not so much. You can imagine doing silent meditation as you walk down West Street on Saturday morning. Or walk through what, like the pavilion or something like that, Saturday morning. Good luck. You definitely need it. And fire sacrifice. We also do fire sacrifice. Certain occasions. But it's not got the emphasis at all as the chanting of the holy names. And again, fire sacrifice. You've got to know all the mantras. You've got to know all the mantras properly. Properly. Because if you mispronounce one syllable, the whole thing becomes a waste. It's so demanding. Yeah. Not like, anyway, yeah, it's very demanding. And even deity worship, like in our temple here, and you know, here and there are temples, Chatsworth and all around, where people are worshipping deities, but not according to that standard. Like in our temple in Chatsworth, our standard is 365 days a year and 366 on leap years. The deities addressed, all the deities addressed twice a day. And not just some simple little cloth thrown over them, but very elaborate special clothes. And they're fed six times a day. and again, very elaborate, and offered Arati 6 times a day. But this is a simple standard. It's a simple standard according to the what was done in Dwapara Yuga. So, yeah, but in this Kali Yuga, like we mentioned, if you're walking down West Street, walking through the pavilion, walking down West Street, Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, something like that, as busy, busy, how are you going to do your silent meditation? I don't know. But we do go chanting. We do go chanting. West Street, London, Oxford Street, New York, Fifth Avenue, you know, all these, the main streets of the main cities, on the main days. And the process of chanting is so powerful that if you focus, if you really get into chanting with the other devotees in kirtan, then you find you become completely freed from the all the influences which are there in the center of the busy city. And it's just like you're in another world, and a much better world too, because the chanting is so special. So like this, these are a few thoughts about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Then I said, we'd also mention something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to actually read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is titled Krishna. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text 43. This is the verse. Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisa Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Pura Narko Dunodita. This Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. That's a nice verse, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam is so special. You know, of course, Bhagavad Gita is there, and we study Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is introducing these subjects, and Bhagavad Gita is bringing Arjuna, Krishna is bringing Arjuna to the point right at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Last maybe 10 verses. Lord Krishna brings Arjuna to the point of Sarvadharma Parichaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Ahamtam Sarva Pape Yo Mokshay Shami Mashuchaha. Yeah. And for that matter, the verse just immediately before, that was 1866, chapter 18, verse 66. Chapter 18, verse 65. Manmana bhavamad bhakto bhadyaji mab namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyante pratijane priyosime. Just think about me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage, your respects to me. In this way you will come to me. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. Which can also be understood from our perspective that I promise you this because If you do these things, you will become my very dear friend, like Arjuna became. Yeah. And then Krishna will help. Moksha Ishani. I will deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So Krishna's bringing Arjuna to that point. All right, I will surrender to Krishna. I will sort of give myself into the hands of Krishna and stop my independent program of doing this and doing that and just trying to do my own thing. That's the end of Bhagavad Gita. But then Srimad Bhagavatam begins from that point where the person has agreed, has decided, there's a resolve. Yes, I will give myself to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam goes into how to do that. How to give yourself to Krishna. And when you have given yourself to Krishna, how to develop or reawaken your eternal forgotten relationship with Krishna and actually enter into that relationship. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, Prabhupada would say that if you read Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning to the end, it's plus or minus 15,000 verses. Bhagavad Gita is only 700. It's short. 15,000 or so verses. Prabhupada would say, by the time you reach the end, you'll be God realized. So we congratulate Desmond and Varsha for acquiring a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Well done. You've done yourselves a big favor. And we recommend that all of you, everybody else, if you don't have a set, get a set. If you have a set, get another one and give it to your friends. And Lord Chaitanya, he was preaching and teaching people according to these the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, he would say, it is the spotless Purana. Some of the scriptures, they have different twists and turns in them, but Srimad Bhagavatam is spotless, completely pure. All right, devotees and friends, thank you for listening very attentively. And I guess now we'll have Arti. Okay? And how will we do the Arti, actually? Who was it said? Or was you said? We should offer Arti to Bhagavatam, included in the Arti. And the flowers, flower petals, offer to Prabhupada. All right. Okay, so this is what we'll do. Everyone will stand up in a minute. And then everyone can get some flowers. We'll have someone handing them out. You can offer the flower petals to Prabhupada, who's the small figure just on the side of the table there next to the pictures in the front. You can offer, turn the flower petals a few times, offer them to Prabhupada. And as we are doing the RT, we will also offer RT to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki. 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 Srila Prabhupada ki.